This is a News Laundry podcast, and you're listening to the Awful and Awesome Entertainment Wrap.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Awful and Awesome Entertainment Wrap, episode 143. I'm Abhinandan Sekri.
And I'm Jefferson Simon.
And Jefferson Simon is a subscriber who has stepped up when we needed him most, because Rajshri Sen is off to her exotic holidays and trips to Turkey and I don't know where else. So just to show her that we also have international access and collaboration, Jefferson joins us from Germany. Hey, Jefferson.
Hi, Abhinandan.
So what do you do in Germany?
I'm a software engineer over here.
I see. Well, I have your bio here. You're 31, a software engineer. You finished your schooling from Tirunelveli, which is my mother's hometown, village rather. And you did your engineering in Chennai. You worked in Chennai, Gujarat, Hyderabad, Bangalore, and now in Nuremberg. There was a film, Battle at Nuremberg, Justice at Nuremberg. What's that film? It's an old film.
There was a Nuremberg trial over here, the persecution of the Nazis.
Yeah, of course, the famous Nuremberg trials, but there's a film also called Something at Nuremberg, right? It's a very old film, I think 50s or something. Anyway, I guess you would be interested in something that old. You worked across multiple industries, banking, automobile, retail, and now you're in healthcare tech. You're a bit of a nerd and love reading books, painting, watching movies, series, and playing video games. All right, Jefferson, so you're just the man to host Awful and Awesome with an uncle like me, which I have been called enough times in the last 1 week. But we shall get to that later. What's it like in Nuremberg? Tell me, describe a typical day in Nuremberg for you.
It's a mid-sized city.
Okay.
Okay. So a city like Munich or Frankfurt is a very huge city. So this is not a very small city. Also, it's not a very big city. So it's somewhere in between. So it has around 500,000 people.
I see. So 500,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
And it's a pretty good city. It's beautiful and it's a historic place. There are a lot of historic places over here, nice museums.
What's your AQI? The point. What's your AQI?
AQI?
My God, you're so privileged. You aren't even aware of what that is. We call it the Air Quality Index. In Delhi, whenever I wake up in the morning, I check the temperature and I check the AQI. The fact that you don't even bother means you don't have to worry about it over there.
That's true.
Okay, fine. So I'll just go over what we will review. You will bring perspective into stuff much needed because you are young and more well-versed in many of these series that we shall be reviewing. But before I do that, I would like to urge our listeners to subscribe to News Laundry and pay to keep news free. You may be listening to this podcast on platforms like iTunes, Stitcher, Hubhopper or whatever else it is. Whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on, we have a website called newslaundry.com. On newslaundry.com, we have ground reports, we have other podcasts, we have video shows. And most importantly, we are trying to evolve a model of news that is ad-free, because we believe when the public pays, the public is served. When advertisers pay, advertisers served. So for us to be able to do what we do and do it better, and if you want to see how good our stuff is, check it out on newslaundry.com. Do subscribe, go to the top right-hand corner, click on the subscribe button so that you can help us survive. On that note, let me tell you what we have in store for you. We have The Witcher, which is a book, a video game, a TV show. I'm confused. Obviously, you're doing this, Jefferson, because I don't even understand what this is.
Yeah, okay. This is a show on Netflix, series.
Okay, but it's a book and a video game also.
Yeah. Actually, the video game was made from the book. So, first, the books came out. It came out in the 90s and in the early 2000s. So there are like about 8 books. So it started off as short stories, and then the author's name is Andrea Sapkowski.
So it evolved into a TV game. Okay, fine. So you will be reviewing The Witcher, and then you'll be reviewing Star Wars, which I also finally watched. The last one, right? What's it called?
The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, so that's the one. Then Google Year in Search. That's one video. YouTube 2019 Rewind. These are these end of the year things that they make. And I shall also be reviewing a 3-part Netflix series called Don't Fuck with the Cats. And most importantly, we shall be reviewing Chapak, which I watched yesterday with Deepika Padukone. Just letting you know. Which
is why
I'm in such good spirits and good humor. And we have an interview of hers as well. So we shall be playing that interview in the middle of this podcast. So I interviewed Deepika, Meghna Gulzar, the director, and Vikrant Massey, the star of the film. But as I was telling Deepika, I really liked it. And, you know, as when Deepika and I were talking, I was just saying that, wow, that's such a great film. So as I was telling Deepika, have I said Deepika too many times already? Okay, fine. Sorry. Okay. Okay, sorry. Am I sounding stupid? Oh, dear. I must have made such a lousy impression. Oh, shit.
No, I know you like Deepika very much.
Dude, you have no idea. Like, Meghna was telling me, just calm down. Just behave yourself. I will have to throw you out of the cinema. So then I just sat as if I don't give a damn. But I don't think it worked. So yes, so we shall be playing that interview with Deepika as well. But first, Jefferson, tell us about The Witcher.
Why do you think she's not safe? I saw an army, a sea of black and gold.
The Nail of God will destroy everything.
I will take the girl, protect her, and bring her back unharmed.
Good, bad, ugly, why is it relevant, why is it not?
Yeah, so this is a series on the Netflix now, and it's very, very good. I love it. And I highly recommend it. I think even people who are not interested in the fantasy genre, I think they should give it a try. Okay, so this series, it is a fantasy genre, so you will be able to see everything that is typically available in a fantasy genre. There's monsters, there's witches, sorcerers, magic, and so on. The one thing is that maybe I can give a little bit of introduction before, so that it'll be easy for people to, when they watch the series, is know what is a Witcher.
So
witches are mutants.
Okay.
They are created when they are very, very young human, young boys itself. They are created by a mix of toxins and chemicals, as well as magic, a combination of these things. They create it, and they create this. So what this does to them is that they become very strong, and they become very, they get like very good reflexes.
This sounds like a version of X-Men. Is it?
Okay, but this is more of a fantasy element over there. So they do a magic also. They know a little bit of magic also, and they are very good with. Very well versed in all, they know about everything about all kinds of monsters. They know about ghosts and how to lift the curses and so on.
But who's trying to kill them, and who are they trying to kill? There has to be a fight.
Yeah. So basically, their purpose is they're monster slayers. So if there's a monster,
they'll slay him.
They will kill the monster, and someone will pay them for that. Or if a house is haunted, they will call the witcher. They'll pay him some money, and he will make sure the ghost goes.
And these witches came about because someone's like experiment fucked up in the chem lab. Like, how do they like get created?
I think there is a backstory for that also. Why witches were initially created? I think the backstory goes something like that the monsters somehow start showing up in the earth, and in order to handle these monsters, they start creating witches.
I see. Okay, so they were created on purpose.
Yeah. There was a purpose as to why they start creating the Witcher. So I think it might be possible they will cover that part also later in the next seasons. So another thing is that witches are politically neutral.
They're like Bollywood. So basically, Amitabh Bachchan, Shah Rukh Khan, Salman Khan, they're all witches. They just don't comment. Unlike Deepika Padukone, who's a superhero, right? She fucking went there.
Huh. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. She was in the protest.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in this context, politically neutral means they will not take sides with any of the kings. So if two kings are fighting, they will not take sides with them. And they will not take contract for killing human beings. They'll only take contract for killing monsters.
They're ethical.
Yeah. Yeah,
I see.
Yeah, so the thing about this series is that I came to know about this series by playing the video game. So I played the video game. I really loved it. Later on, I came to know that, okay, there are some books also about it. So I then read a graphic novel about The Witcher. The graphic novel was not written by Andrea Sapkowski. It was written by another guy called Paul Tubin or something.
I see.
Yeah. And the thing about The Witcher is that it's at a very high level, if you look at this movie, it's just, it may seem like just another fantasy series, but actually it deals with a lot of stuff. It deals with xenophobia, it deals with racism, it deals with genocide. It deals about very tough moral choices.
So what you're saying is it has this political like subtext, the undertone, which you can juxtapose into real life. I see.
Yeah, yeah. And also not just political stuff, but also some of our struggles and some of the decisions which we face in life and so on.
I see.
And I mean, even if you notice in the trailer of this, in the trailer of The Witcher, there's a scene wherein they ask, like, you know, I heard that witches don't have any human emotions.
Hmm.
They actually, it's actually a rumor that actually spreads about witches because they actually dehumanize witches. They say that these guys are monsters. So they ill-treat them wherever they go. They behave.
I see.
They discriminate.
So they're not like Mr. Spock. You know who Mr. Spock is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't have any emotions.
They're not like Spock.
I see. All right. That's great. Sounds interesting. So would you recommend we... How many episodes is it?
Eight.
So is it worth 8 episodes? Or are you like Rajshri? Yeah. Anything is worth your time.
No, it's definitely worth 8 episodes. One thing I have to mention is that this has multiple timelines. It goes back and forth between the past and the future. And from one episode to episode, it goes some maybe like 10 years ahead or 5 years ahead. And they won't mention anywhere that this is 10 years ahead. We have to find it or figure it out by the dialogues that they're speaking.
I see. Okay.
Like you meet someone and says, oh, it has been 10 years since I saw you. So we know, oh, okay, this is 10 years ahead.
Actually, this is something that has been very well done. Time lapse has been shown very well in Chhapak, which I shall be reviewing later, which I just watched yesterday with Deepika. So like I was telling her, that aspect has been very well done. I was telling Deepika. Am I saying Deepika too often? Okay, sir. No, sir. So I just... But fine. Thanks for that. Before we get to Star Wars, I have a couple of emails I'd like to read out. And then we shall get to Return of Skywalker and the Google videos, one of which I fucking completely loved. But first, here is an email. This is a very short and sweet email. It's from Sakshit or Shakshit, Shaktish, it's Shaktish. Hello Abhinan and Rajshri, I really enjoy your show. Though I started a bit late, but I'm catching up now, selectively, including all the interviews. Don't worry, I have subscribed to News Laundry and I do my bit to contribute to independent journalism. I don't know if you have already reviewed, but if not, I would be thrilled if you could review Succession TV series, Glow TV series, Barry TV series, Barry Netflix. Thanks, Shaktish. For your encouragement, for your very sweet email, and for subscribing to Pay to Keep News free. And we shall try to do Glow. A lot of people told me I should watch Glow. I'll watch Glow for sure. Then this is from Abhinash. The email from a subscriber, Pallavi, I think, was at best rude and at worst a disservice to this conversation, which you have carried on in Hafta discussion as well. I think in the episode where you'd invited a subscriber and had a long discussion on this topic was quite elaborate and should have put an end to it. Her solution is the only possible one, a separate gender non-conforming toilet. Abhinash is talking about Pallavi's email that I read last time, and I have got lots of emails saying that how I was very mean, and I shall address all those allegations. So I shall continue with the mail. I think in the episode where you'd invite a subscriber and had a long discussion on this topic was quite elaborate and should have put an end to it. Her solution is the only possible one, a separate gender non-conforming toilet. This isn't mere political correctness, it's a cultural evolution as a species. I believe that 500 years, if we survive as a species, from now our understanding of gender will be much different, and gender will be recognized for the spectrum it is and not just the discrete LGBTQNIA and cis. As to the issue of whether to spend the money in building a third toilet or not, it's a moral one. Spending public money has a moral and an opportunity cost. If we can afford it, by all means, we should build a third toilet before we decide to make a cricket pitch. I don't think you meant that being a transgender is a conscious decision. Also, some deviants might pose as transgenders to enter women's or men's toilets. What I categorically disagree on is a transgender woman is a lesser woman than a cis female. The definition of woman by her biology is extremely basic and is really futile. Biology is hackable, and I see a future in which women will simply skip natural childbirth making ovaries redundant. All that would remain, though, is the feeling of being a woman or not. If someone believes that they want to be treated as a woman, regardless of their biology, they should be treated that way. That's a moral thing to do. It's not mere political correctness. Whether we have to the resources to do that or not is a more banal problem. Resources can be earned and compromised on, but morality shouldn't be. Regards, Abhinash. Very well articulated, Abhinash. Thank you. You're right. When I had invited that subscriber and we discussed that, there we were only talking about toilets. But I think Pallavi's email went beyond that. It wasn't only about toilets. It's about what is male, female, my entire take on the gender. So I think it had gone beyond that. I think the toilet kind of thing had been settled in that. You're right. Then Tanushree says, "Hi Abhinav and Rajshree. Last time I had written an email, you guys didn't read it. I was a subscriber then too. After that, I thought I wouldn't send Awful and Awesome Podcast any mail. But this time I'm forced to write after hearing an email sent in the podcast. Abhinandan, you might be an uncle. I mean, you are. And I disagree with your opinions." Yes, including Deepika Padukone and Kriti Sanon opinion. "You shouldn't leave the podcast at all. I obviously, most of the time, side with Rajshree in all your banter. But this podcast would fail without you and Rajshree. Meghna and Rawl are fun, but no one can beat you in ANA. Don't be disheartened when you have fans like us who support you." How sweet. Tanushree, thank you for standing up for me after all the hate I get. It's okay. Thank you so much. That's really sweet of you. But it's okay. I don't mind the criticism, just so you know. So don't feel pity for me. I'm fine. By the way, Rajshree, my God, GOT season 8 was the worst. I sometimes feel your choices take a toss, like why Big Bang Theory? You're otherwise an amazing podcast host. Lots of love to you too. Happy New Year to the entire News Learning team. Regards, Tanushree Samantha." Thank you, Tanushree. Thank you for your kind words. Thank you for feeling pity and standing up for me. I really appreciate it. Although I don't feel bad, I think people should be able to write to me in whatever language they choose. But what I have realized is that they don't like me to respond in whatever language I choose. So, and I'll address that later in the podcast. But thank you. And Rajshree is not the most amazing podcast host because she's not here half the time. So please tell her. She's in some exotic location doing something or the other. So let's come back to before I have a lot of other hate mail this time, Jefferson, just letting you know. Before we come to Star Wars, and we'll do the Chhapak and the Deepika Padukone interview in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch both the Google videos?
Yeah, I watched it. Yeah.
So why don't you go first? Which one did you prefer and why? So we are talking about Google made two videos, YouTube. One was YouTube Rewind 2019 for the record, hashtag YouTube Rewind. And the other was You're in Search. It's basically about heroes. It's a 2-minute video about heroes. And the other is just like a rewind recap kind of thing. Which one did you prefer, Jefferson?
I preferred the Year in Search video.
Yeah, man. It was just, it makes your hair stand on end, yeah.
Boys create a rescue trampoline.
The first to run a marathon in under 2 hours.
We have seen what we thought was unseeable.
Nicolas Mahut lost in the French Open, but then his 7-year-old son ran onto the cart to give his dad a big hug.
It is brilliant. I so
It's that feel good video, and gives you that warm and fuzzy feeling.
Yeah, and also inspiring. I think it's a kind of video. I mean, I highly recommend all of you who listen to it to check these videos out, the Google Year in Search 2019 and Google and YouTube Rewind 2019 for the record. The one on heroes it's very inspiring. It also has clips of people who have done tremendous thing in spite of amazing odds. And just the pace of the cut, the sound, the music, it blows you away. I think these guys just do videos so well. They've cracked it, yeah. I don't think anyone can catch up to YouTube on video now.
Yeah. That's true, yeah.
And what else? Yeah. What about the Year in other one, Rewind?
Yeah, I like that one also. And in the starting of the video, it mentions, right, you didn't like the previous year's video. And I do remember watching the 2018 Rewind video. And at that time, I remember people criticized it a lot.
Right.
So, I think this time no one will care. They kind of did a better job, I think.
Yeah, I think they did do a better job. I think it's nice, but it didn't blow my socks out or anything. You know what I mean? It's good.
Yeah. It's good. It's good. And the thing about last year's video to this year's video is that they kind of captured the essence of YouTube. They captured the international audio creators also. That was really good.
Yeah, they did. There's a variety of stuff here and people. The PewDiePie, it also features PewDiePie, who was the guy who was at war in India, na? Because T-Series was the number one in PewDiePie.
Yeah.
So he said something about Indians and all the Indians said, let's make T-Series number one. Because obviously we prefer Bhushan Kumar to PewDiePie. Bhushan Kumar, who is, I'm sure, the hallmark of ethical... By the way, Bhushan Kumar, I shouldn't be so mean to him because I hats off. He was the only A-lister. You know, Piyush Goyal and Jay Panda from the BJP were sent to Bombay because they are the two suave, sophisticated, cool, smooth Casanova faces of BJP. Dear God, can you imagine? But they were sent to Bombay to have a meeting with the Bollywood stars and producers to explain CAA. So none of the big names landed up. Bhushan Kumar was the biggest name that landed up. So he was doing the reveal or whatever they call of his new film with that Sid Kapoor's youngest brother, Aditya Kapoor. And a reporter asked him that you had gone for this dinner with Piyush Goyal regarding CAA. He said, just because I was in Hyatt Hotel doesn't mean I had gone for the dinner. So he's even denying going for the dinner. So Bhushan Kumar is denying meeting BJP. That has to be the ultimate insult. Anyway, I digress. So PewDiePie is in this video. And yeah, that's about the video. So now tell me about Star Wars. Have you seen all the others before you tell us about this Return of Skywalker or End of Skywalker? What's it called again?
Rise of Skywalker.
Rise of Skywalker. You've seen all the others?
Yeah, I have seen all.
Because you're, what, 15 years younger than me. So, like, Star Wars was when I was in class 5, 6. I mean, we, like, loved Star Wars. So you obviously saw it as a classic, not as a contemporary growing up film.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So what do you think of this last one? This is how the series ends.
Yeah. The thing, I mean, for me, when I watch a Star Wars movie, I don't have much expectations. I just watch it just like a Fast and Furious franchise or something.
You don't say that, Jefferson. Oh, my God. I'm gonna die.
What I mean by that is that... I don't have very high expectations. I know I'm going to have a lot of fun watching it, and I know I'm not going to be bored watching any of these movies. So that is my level of expectations, because I see a lot of people get very emotional about Star Wars and so on. So I don't get that level of I don't get so emotional about Star Wars.
Right. I mean, just to tell our audience what it was, I mean, I watched it with my nephew and niece. I was disappointed because, you know, Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi were, and we aren't just saying this because, you know, when you're old, you say, hamare zamane ki jo filme hoti thi. I mean, I'm not doing that chutia, because when I go back and watch Rambo or First Blood or even Rocky for that matter, Rocky 3 and 4, they're really shit films. But at that time, we loved them. Predator and all are like really bad. Top Gun is still okay. But that other one where he's a car rally driver, they're not great films. But even when I go and watch Star Wars or Return of Jedi today, they are amazing films. But in the middle, those ones at episode 1, 2, 3 and all that had come out, they were really shitty. They were crap. Now, keeping in mind, the Return of the Jedi had such dramatic moments, and especially that final fight between the Sith Lord and Darth Vader when he's saving young Skywalker.
Yeah.
The problem with this film was that it did not build towards that ultimate fight.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, it. You know the what's his name? The guy who's in that series also, who plays the Jewish cop in Black Klansman.
His name is Adam Driver.
Adam Driver, correct. So Adam Driver and that girl, what's her name? Daisy Ridley and Adam Driver, they fight like some 5 times. Yeah, by the time interval comes, dude.
Yeah.
You know, there should be an anticipation of now they'll meet and they'll fight. They fight, then they go. Then they fight, then they go. Like, fuck it. It has to build up towards the ultimate fight. And I think this is where it fucked up. It just kept... They kept meeting too often. So that final fight didn't have the desired impact like the one in Return of the Jedi did, or like the one in Star Wars did.
I have a slight difference in opinion. I really loved that they kept meeting and they kept fighting from the beginning. I loved whenever they kept meeting. Those scenes were awesome. That was the best scenes in the movie.
Yeah, but as far as the larger narrative is concerned, don't you think the script should keep us wanting for that ultimate fight rather than keep satiating our desire every 5 minutes?
I think okay. The I think the reason for that is a bit different for this movie. The fight. The thing is that they kind of made it a bit too predictable. I think they kind of tried to rehash the old trilogy.
Right.
I felt that way. They had. I mean, I think J.J. Abrams, the director, wanted to make it like episode 6 ending, towards that ending here. I think he wanted to bring the end it in the same way, give the same feeling and all, but I think it failed in that. And I think the reason why he failed doing that was that when you're having a character arc, as in a good guy becomes a bad guy or a bad guy becomes a good guy, it's very difficult to show that shift in character.
There has to be a very good reason, right? Yeah. There has to be a very good reason. I mean, that the turning point should be very compelling.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I think that Star Wars has a lot of material in it, that there is still room for a lot of character development over there. They can make maybe 3-4 more movies also, actually, if they wanted to. I mean, maybe this is more suitable as a TV series also.
But why do you think, what's his name, George Lucas said, okay, fuck it, this is the last? I was discussing this with my niece and nephew. They said, why is this the last? Why has he said he won't make any more? Do you know anything about why he said that?
I have a theory about it. I don't know for sure. My theory is that they wanted to do something like The Mandalorian or something like that. So
what is The Mandalorian?
Mandalorian is a Star Wars TV series.
Oh, okay.
Disney, it's not available outside of the US.
He plays the mandolin? What he like does? Ding, 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 ding. No, sorry.
They are going way back in the Mandalorian series. They are going way back to when Yoda was a little baby.
Oh my God, are you serious? They've fucking gone back then? I haven't even said, good. Okay, good. I'm done. I don't even want to go there. I'd rather die having met Deepika Padukone and remembering Star Wars and Yoda the way they were, as wise old men. I don't want to see baby Yoda, and I don't want to see an old Deepika. I'm just done. I can die now. Hey, Rab, chakle, chakle, honi chakle.
No, but I actually like that approach, actually. I think that they should focus on more of these spin-offs and so on, because I think that, you know, they keep trying to link up with the trilogy, the original trilogy, and they're being very limited, I think, with the stories because of that.
Okay, so anyway, but as far as all the Star Wars goes, after Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back, and Star Wars, this one was my favorite. I will say that. I was not hugely satisfied with it, but I didn't dislike it either. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's my take on it. Now, before we come to Don't Fuck With The Cats and end with Chhapak and the interview with Deepika Padukone, who I just met yesterday, and I still haven't washed my hands because I shook her hand, my right hand. let's see how long I can go on like this without getting...
I have actually done stuff like this.
You really have? No way.
But slightly different.
Who?
Shruti hasn't signed autograph for me. Huh. The pen which she used for signing autograph, I had it for a very long time.
Oh, nice. Chalo, good. Good to know. So now this letter is from Anjalin. Hi, Abhinandan Rajshri. That was great year-end episode. Love the recommendations and warnings. Just want to write in and say a few things. Agree with Rajshri. It's great when both of you have seen the same movie. The discussion that follows is very interesting and meaningful. I also wanted to address the standing my ground comment made by another subscriber. As Abhinandan rightly pointed out, there was no war or standoff between us, and hence I wasn't standing my ground. I was making my point, he was making his, and we were both trying to make each other understand where we were coming from. There is nothing wrong with an argument, a heated argument even, as long as you don't come out as warring parties at the end of it all. Please do include reviews of plays in 2020. Delhi has great theatre, and it'll be good to know what you guys feel about it. Many plays these days do the usual circuit of Delhi, Mumbai, Bangalore. So it'll be helpful. That's all. Wish you a very happy new year. Hope we all see better times. Anjalin. Yes, Anjalin, we hope we see better times too. Thank you for your email and your support. And do join us again. I mean, join me again on one of the podcasts. I really enjoyed discussing and debating with you. It was politely done. And like you said, there's nothing wrong in a in an argument, even a slightly heated one. Now, this email is from Harjant. Dear Abhinandan, Rajshree and the NL team, Happy New Year to you all. Love the work that you do. Keep it up. For the sake of brevity, let me get to the reason for writing. However, I request that you please read this email in its entirety before responding, commenting on it. I'll explain why in a second. Abhinandan, what follows is constructive feedback based on your troubling response to subscriber emails, most recently an email by Pallavi. I urge you to go back and listen to your responses to subscriber mails, particularly those by your female subscribers. You will find that your responses are often reactionary and at times defensive when presented with differing points of view. Before reading Pallavi's email in its entirety, you resorted to whataboutry and picking apart the least significant parts of her email. In the process, the greater gist of her email was lost. She made some really good points, which you overlooked. In addition, listeners like me were left confused trying to decipher your comment from the subscriber's thoughts and critique. This is poor form on your part as the host. Many of your subscribers are intellectuals seeking to engage in meaningful discourse, and you are not serving them by dismissing their critique and undermining their central arguments. I have two best practice recommendations that you and your team should adopt moving forward that might help you improve your subscriber engagement. Read subscriber emails in their entirety on air before presenting your rebuttal. Read subscriber emails ahead of time and prepare a thoughtful response to deliver on air, so you are not reacting in the moment, but engaging in meaningful conversation. Given that you insist on a word limit for subscriber emails, these two practices should not be difficult to implement. These best practices will also help you streamline conversations on Hafta and Awful and Awesome. As a listener and a subscriber, I prefer it when you discuss actual content and the latest news rather than going off on lengthy tangents on liberalism, centrism, gender politics, transgender rights, areas about which your expertise are rather limited. Lastly, returning to the topic of subscriber emails, when a subscriber like Pallavi states that she's thinking about unsubscribing from News Laundry, that is not a threat. Rather, it is an indication that your views and values no longer align with those of a subscriber, and you should take this critique seriously. Like Pallavi, I too have thought often about unsubscribing from News Laundry. Disappointed by your dogged resistance to changing your belief and attitudes on pressing gender-related issues. As an intellectual, I would rather not waste my time engaging with those who are not open to learning, evolving and seeing others' point of view. Ultimately, what differentiates a liberal from a conservative is the willingness to understand others' pain and prioritize others' needs over one's own convenience and benefits. This other can be Dalit, undocumented immigrants or transgender or intersex people. So if you're serious about improving News Laundry, engaging in a meaningful discourse with your subscribers, you will need to do some work on your end. Treat us with respect that we deserve and take our critique seriously. I also encourage you to further educate yourself on evolve on the latest facts on gender, as the scientific understanding of gender and sexuality has evolved drastically since you were in school or college. To help you do that, I'm sending a separate email and some readings on the subject heading The Miseducation of Abhinandan Sekri. Do look out for that in your mailbox. Thanks again for the work you do. Keep it up. Apologies for the length of this mail. I agree with Bharat. Rajshree is ruling it. In fact, ruling it should be Rajshree's new hashtag. Please review and recommend Ronan Farrow's new episode, To Catch and Kill. It is mind-blowing and extremely relevant to your work as a journalist in pursuit of the truth. Yours, Harjant Gill. So that was a rather long mail, Harjant, over 650 words. And my alert producer, Pariksha, tells me on Hafta, it's 250 or 300 is a low. So A, you have crossed that word limit, but clearly you think that should not matter in this case. So let me make a few points as politely as I can. First, I would acknowledge that I have this mic and I have this show, so I have a bully pulpit. And since I have a bully pulpit, I have to be more measured in my reactions, irrespective of the tone of an email. I get that. And I should be more mindful of that, and I shall try to be. But that does not mean I agree with the point of view. Now, the problem that I have with your mail is, first of all, your assumption, which I'm surprised you would have. I think it's a ridiculous assumption that because you sent me a mail and another person sent me a mail, that mail is enough to completely convert my point of view into what you think is the correct point of view. That too of something that has huge grays, and you are solving it as a mathematical theorem, that it has been solved black and white. And I will just explain how you are doing that and how that's very far from the reality on the ground. But first, why I like Anand Vardhan, although we never agree on anything, is that both he and I acknowledge that when we come on the Hafta table and we exchange ideas through emails or through dialogue, none of us are under the illusion that at the end of this, one of us will get up having converted the other person to his point of view. That is your expectation, I find bizarre. Secondly, I think your email also suffers from the classic syndrome of Mera bachcha natkhat, tumhara betra haramzada. Toh matlab, I would never respond in this way because A, I don't believe what my expertise is. You have put one sentence. The best practices will also help you streamline conversations on Hafta and A&A. As a listener and subscriber, I prefer it when you discuss actual content and the latest news rather than going off at lengthy tangents on liberalism, centrism, gender politics and transgender rights, areas about which your expertise are rather limited. Full stop. A, I'd like to ask you, what is my area of expertise? Because I myself don't know. I know I've anchored shows when I was younger. I've directed and produced food shows, but food is not my expertise. I can't stand much about food, cooking or anything of the sort. So you tell me what my expertise are. Maybe I should only talk about those. But while you have this illusion of you being an extremely articulate and clear and inoffensive communicator, let's say I were to respond to your email with the following lines, which I'm not doing, but I'm just doing this to show you that the mathematical theorem that you're thinking this conversation is, it is not that mathematical theorem. It has a lot of grays and subjective views. You say, stick to things which are your, about which your expertise are rather limited. Don't talk about things about which your expertise are rather limited. You have given me lots of advice on running a media company. So would you think it would be a good or a clever response for me to say, since you're a professor, I see that please, professor, send me areas that you teach and don't tell me about how to run a media company about which your expertise are rather limited. Do you think that's a smart response? And if I were to give that response, would you say that I'm being too nasty? But it's okay when you mail it. So just clarify that for me. And I repeat, that is not my response, but I just wanted to invert the logic to you. So, and that other point you make that I quote, lastly, returning to the topic of subscriber emails, when a subscriber like Pallavi states that she is thinking of unsubscribing from News Laundry, that is not a threat. Rather, it is an indication that your views and values no longer align with those of your subscribers and you should take this critique seriously. Like Pallavi, I too have thought of unsubscribing from News Laundry, disappointed by your dogged resistance to changing your beliefs and attitudes on pressing gender-related issues. Unquote. So you believe that because you and Pallavi have sent me a mail each, I should change my beliefs and views on pressing gender-related issues. A, I will demonstrate by two questions I'll ask at the end of this. These are not mathematical theorems that have been settled. B, let me tell you a little story. Coincidentally, the year News Laundry was launched, I was also trustee in the Jan Lokpal movement. Now, clearly I had an anti-UPA stance and I was a very visible face on the Jan Lokpal movement. And we used to make a living bashing Manmohan Singh, Chidambaram and Kapil Sibal, and Sanjay Jha used to be a favorite whipping boy. Now it's Sambit Patra and Arnab, but that time it was them. And often Pranoy and his crew were at our receiving end. Then 2014, the government changed. And a lot of my subscribers said that, how dare you attack Modi ji? We thought you were honest journalist attacking corruption. Now you're attacking honest man. What is wrong with Hindutva? So by your logic, I should have changed my view and said, okay, now I support Hindutva and the Ram Mandir. And if you don't think that would be a smart thing to do, why would you think your emails should flip my point of view, but those emails should not? Only because you believe this cause, but don't believe that one? And lastly, your misconception that all our subscribers are this monolith with the same view is deeply flawed. All our subscribers have different views. Some agree with each other, some don't. So I think your email, what it is, in my view, its biggest flaw is it is trying to solve for a mathematical theorem in a space which is full of grays. You think the whole gender thing is settled. It is, there is no gray, black and white. There is nothing that has to be still looked at which has no solutions. Like I said, we'll be starting something called NL versus NL. In that, I welcome you to come sit here. 20 minutes, we will have a conversation with each other and we can discuss gender, sex and such issues. I will give you two questions. I will have five more when you come or when you join me on the phone. One, if it's such a black and white settled issue, tell me if there is a 6'4" man who has been accused of murdering 5 children and ripping their heads off and has to go to prison. Do you put him in the men's cell or the women's cell? Because he says, I identify as a woman. Where would you put him, Harjant? And secondly, if a woman who is, 98 pounds, physically petite, like what I call a woman and I see women around, because obviously this is, I'm too old for this terminology to get it correct. And she commits a crime and she has identified as a man. Would you put her in a men's cell? Have you ever been to a prison? Would you think just because she identified as a man, she would be safe in a cell full of men, do watch this Netflix series, The World's Most Dangerous Prisons. And whatever is your logic of men's bathrooms and women's bathrooms, tell me if that logic holds for that prison. It's not a bathroom, it's a prison. Now tell me if your same logic holds. And if now it doesn't, and there is, you're hesitating in sending that young, petite girl into that men's prison because she has identified with a man, then maybe it's not that settled. So not everything in life is a mathematical theorem, and one mail doesn't change anyone's point of view. And because someone mails me something, I will not change my point of view to retain a subscriber. That, in my view, is a ridiculous expectation. If you think I've been rude, I apologize. It's not my intent at all. I think I have been rather restrained, and I shall try to be more restrained. But for a really good conversation, I invite you to join me and we can discuss this threadbare. And you can educate me, because you have said that the miseducation of Abhinandan Sekri needs to be fixed. Don't hold back, Harijant. Come join me. I promise you, I shall not raise my voice. So I have one more hate mail coming up, and I shall quickly finish that off. This is from Siva. Hi, wishing you and your team a very happy new year. I'm an on and off subscriber and used to enjoy listening to the Awful and Awesome show. But for the last few episodes, especially the one hosted by Abhinandan, are a pain to listen to. Somebody needs to remind him he is more often in Hafta mode while hosting this show. Would like to let Mr. Abhinandan know that an elaborate discussion on bathrooms is something surely most listeners of the show would have tuned in for. Also, Mr. Abhinandan, Ms. Pallavi mentions that you, co-host of that particular show, stood her ground. Probably she meant literally, honestly, if I were there co-hosting the show with you and you were ranting about bathrooms and preferences of various genders, etc., I surely would not have stood the crap. Well, it's a good thing you weren't here then, isn't it, Shiva? I feel strongly that a particular discussion did not deserve to be on this show. Also, Mr. Abhinandan, I don't know what kind of an effect the extreme weather conditions have had over you, but if a subscriber feels that the content is not worth subscribing to or is renewing his her subscription, then that makes him or her your enemy, right? Sounds damn normal to me. Okay, I'm not sure what you're trying to say, but I guess what you're saying is that if someone doesn't agree with me, they should unsubscribe. Anyway, people don't subscribe to Zendo Awful and Awesome. It's free. It's our ground reports that I'm hoping they subscribe for. And yes, congratulations on winning the award on the Best Podcast Nation. I hope you're mindful of the fact that the reason you have so many loyal fans of this show who voted for you are due to the efforts of your previous host, who was damn good at what she did. The quality of the show has kept on deteriorating. And yes, Abhinandan, if I do not like it, I would stop listening to it, and I'm thinking of it as well. I want to share my opinion about the show, and you may not have the guts to read this email in one of your upcoming shows. I really do not care, and I just want you to know that I think what I think of you and your show, which I suppose you are hosting for your own self than for the subscribers. And yes, last but not least, I hope I have a few misspelt words or grammatical incorrect sentences you could probably make fun of. It seems only males which are articulated in English are worthy of your show. Insulting or domineering your co-host or simply swearing a number of times does not make you a worthy host. All the best to you and your team and the future, and the best of the listeners as well. Regards, Siva Hanuman. Hanumu, sorry. Siva, well, I'm glad that's off your chest. Just a couple of things. You want to send me an email that's a little more harsh than this, feel free. Spending a lot of time addressing emails here. About having the guts, Siva, let me tell you a couple of things about the priorities of someone like me. So when you write in, you get where I'm coming from. You know, when we set up News Laundry in 2012, because I was a trustee in PCRF and the UPA was in power, and I was also the co-founder of News Laundry, and because Arvind and Manish didn't have any property in Delhi, the trust was registered in the same office where News Laundry used to run out of. So I often had cops or IB coming and saying, why are you doing this? We had notices from the RBI. I've had notes from, you know, all sorts of ministries. So when I get an envelope that has a ministerial stamp is when I actually shit bricks. Not when I get an email that tells me I'm a dick. I think you need to understand that when you're running a media organization, someone not liking you doesn't rock your world. Someone want to shut you down rocks your world. Those are the stakes that you play for. You don't play for someone saying, oh, you're a sick guy. Oh, I love you so much. Oh, you're... I mean, out of the million page views you get, fucking, even if a million hate me, they'll probably like our reports. You got to understand what makes an organization run, dude. I mean, it's not an ego hassle between you and me. Anyway, so those are a lot of mails. So guys, if you want to write in, like I told you, we're starting NL versus NL. We're starting it with the in-house NL team. But we want subscribers to be able to discuss and, you know, debate with each other. I think an assumption that at the end of the debate, one person will be convinced of the other's point of view is bizarrely ridiculous. That ain't happening. But we can reclaim the debate. And what I say is, and of course each of you can make your own mind for the mind up on that, if you are going to give it out, you have to be able to take it in as well. I mean, and the reason I did not call that particular subscriber to discuss, because when I saw her mail, I said, let me get her on the show. But then I went to her, you know, Twitter timeline, and her Twitter timeline said, Abhinand Sekri, I don't think being trans is a choice, and a trans man is as much a man as a cis man is the same trans, and same for trans women. I'm tired of your tired ideas on things. Now, I did not believe, and I saw her Twitter timeline, I was afraid if I get her on the show and she talks like that, I will obviously also react. That's the only reason. I don't think this is a conducive language for a discussion. But any of you who want to come and discuss this with me, I'm happy to host you here. We shall give you sandwich, tea, coffee. But it's not going to be one-way street. I accept I should be more measured in how I respond, but I do not accept that I have to accept what you say and change my mind. Because if I did, there's a larger market of Modi Bhakts who will help me change my mind and subscribe. That's not why News Laundry was set up. Moving to Don't Fuck With The Cast. Did you watch it, Jefferson?
I watched only one episode of that.
And what do you think? Before I tell you what I thought of all three.
It was shocking because I didn't know what it was when I watched it first. And it was amazing. I mean, what all they went through, what all they did, I didn't even know it was something like this is possible to do.
Yeah, so, man. It
was shocking.
So I'll just tell you, those of you who aren't aware of what it is, Don't Fuck With The Cats is a three-part documentary series about how there was this guy by the name Luca Magnotta. I don't know how you pronounce it. Magnotta. Who basically uploaded these videos of him killing cats. It's really sick. And he would like... So, of course, a lot of people said, who the fuck is this sicko? And a community of Facebookers set up a Facebook page and, you know, said, let's figure out who he is, where he is, and catch him. And in this cat and mouse game, and he knew that they were trying to catch him, basically moves from killing little kittens to killing a human being. And finally, how the police got to him, how this bunch of Facebook users was tracking him, how they found out where he was, how much of the investigation actually helped the police. It's a fascinating watch.
The internet is boundless. There's the happy places. And then there's another part of the internet, the seedy underbelly. I was on Facebook one day.
And then I found this video. It needs to be stopped immediately.
Two mysterious packages.
An international manhunt.
This isn't the first time. It's not going to be the last time. This is going to get progressively worse.
In the seedy underbelly of the internet, there's an unwritten rule. Rule zero. Don't fuck with cats.
The few things that I did find problematic about it were, A, they interview the murderer's mother. He's in prison now, serving a life term. And I just thought that for a woman whose son has been accused of murder, the frames and the interviews were very rehearsed and contrived. Like, you know, a documentary like this, I'd expect, like, hello, ma'am, you know, your son is in prison for murder and you will never see him, I mean, as a free man again. So where should we interview you? Now you sit like this and there'll be a soft focus with a television in the foreground. I just think that takes away from the authenticity. So there were a few conversations between, you know, that woman who's one of the two main people from the Facebook community who are catching them. Jefferson, you know the one I'm talking about, right? The one who works for the casino. That conversation was also too contrived. Like they're sitting there and the camera goes around. I think that was a bit, it took away from the film. And sometimes the music was a bit too much. But I think now documentary films have to compete with reality TV. So they don't stick to the documentary format of basically play with the net sound and play with, you know, the ambient kind of noises. There's just too much of production that goes into it. Like the framing of the interviews was way overdone. It just took away the authenticity for me.
Yeah, but this is kind of done in pretty much almost all documentaries, right?
Yeah, now that's the standard.
Even in the guy who directed Inside Bill's Brain, Bill Gates' Brain documentary. He also said that when he does his documentaries, he tells the people over there that I need certain shots of you reading a book, or I need a shot of you working on your computer. And he asks them to do it.
No, that's fine. No, that even, you know, when we used to do docus, we used to do that. Of course, you got to take those shots. But I mean that a shot that is obviously, like, really elaborately produced, like in the foreground, there's a big screen television playing the son's video. Then there's half a door. And the behind the door, she's sitting with a slight, you know, light on her face and her head down. You know, no one sits like that. She's been told to sit like that. And then that shot, I mean, it's too directed. I just think something that is too directed. Otherwise, of course, read a book that you even do in news. Yeah. Sir, ab zara utke wahan jaiye, zara shot lena hai aapka. Sir, zara utke yahan aaiye. That we used to do even of ministers. Yeah. Because after you've taken his bite and you have to run shots, you can't just have him sitting on the same desk. So we used to tell him to walk around and pretend to do something. So that, but we wouldn't say now, yahan par upar dekhiye aur boliye ab hum acche din laenge. We didn't do that kind of shit, you know. So that I think is a new thing. But yeah, that's what I thought of Don't Fuck With The Cats. But anything, but why didn't you watch the other two episodes? Did it not suck you in enough or did you find it too gory? Because there were times I thought I'd turn it off. Luckily, they don't show any of the actual killing of the cats, like in full frame.
Yeah, those scenes, I just walked away. I looked away, those scenes.
But why didn't you finish it? Did it not, like, you didn't find it exciting enough, interesting enough?
It was getting late at night and I was like, yeah, we'll watch it later. and I left it. And I missed it.
No, you should watch it. I think you'll enjoy it. You know, there's some, just what is great about it is that on Facebook, online, there is a community for everything or for everyone, like, including how they identify this guy. The room where this video is there, there's a vacuum cleaner in the background.
That's in the episode one.
Yeah, there's actually a group on the internet who are obsessed with vacuum cleaners. They know where each vacuum cleaner was made, where it is sold, what model it is. Like, there's a community for everything. I find that fascinating. Finally, can I talk about Chhapak?
Yeah. And how's Deepika when you met her?
I don't know. After I hit the ground and then they sprinkled water on me and brought me back. And then Meghna said, if you're going to behave like this, I can't call you for any other film screenings. You're an embarrassment. Then I apologized. I did like that. And then I kind of found my voice and my dignified style. I said, the name Sekri, Abhinandan Sekri. No, I just behaved like a jackass. I said, can I have a photo with you, please? No one will believe I met you. I promise you, I swear on my mother. She says, calm down, please. Sit down, you can have a photograph. I said, thank you, I'm forever grateful. I behave like a real buffoon, basically. But she's stunningly beautiful, I think. She is really graceful. I think she has a great walk. She's obviously a sports person. So yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah, I just she started, she was very emotional at one point because all the other acid attack survivors were there. They were about, I think I saw about 13, 14 of them. So she spent a lot of time talking to them. Before I cut to the interview with Deepika and Meghna Gulzar and Vikrant Massey, let me tell you about the film. It's directed by Meghna, starring Vikrant Massey and Deepika Padukone. It's about a real acid attack survivor who was, I think, just 18 or 19 when this guy who was, no, I think 17. And the guy was about 25 when he threw acid on her because he wanted to marry her. He was given a 10-year prison sentence. It was the first time an acid attack aggressor was given a 10-year sentence. Otherwise, it was from 2 to 5 years. There are many things that you learn about the legal system in our country through the film. I think that's fantastic about Meghna's films. Even Talwar did that. You get to know the kind of laws in IPC that they are. That before this new law was made, the punishment for throwing hot tea on someone and throwing acid on someone was the same. So whether I spilt acid on you or whether I spilt tea on you, I'd get the same punishment. It was ridiculous, the kind of laws that they were. I mean, you could finish someone's life and you'd end up serving maybe a year and a half or two. But I think the opening sequence is really hard hitting. The first half doesn't let you sit back and relax at all. It's really gripping. It keeps you at the edge of your seat. The second half begins with the love story between, and this is a true life story. So actually, Lakshmi actually got married to the guy who headed that NGO. Both of them were there at the screening as well. I met both. They're both wonderful people. And they actually got married and they have a daughter. They have, I think, a 4-year-old daughter now. Alok runs a NGO in Lucknow called Shiro's. And they work with acid attack victims. Acid attack survivors. I keep saying victims. I have been corrected so many times. Acid attack survivors. And he and, you know, Lakshmi got married and had a daughter. So they've not, most of the film is about the case and about, you know, her life. There is a bit about the romance. That bit for me slowed down the film a little bit, but the rest of it was really tight. Full disclosure, Meghna is a very old friend and I was her assistant director in Filhal. So I'm clearly biased. And it has Deepika Padukone in it, so I'm clearly biased. So, but I do think it's a tight film. It's the two things that I thought are overdone, and I think that's true for most films now. I think background music is used a bit too much. There are certain scenes that are dramatic, just with the way, like when acid is thrown on someone or someone wins a case. That's a really dramatic moment. I think background music should be minimal, but the background music is pretty significant in this. So yeah, that was the only thing, and I love the film.
What did the acid attack victims think about the movie?
Survivors.
Yeah, sorry. What did the survivors think about the movie?
If you asked, yeah, I should have mentioned it. So most of them were crying. Actually, you know, when that scene happens and it plays out twice, when the acid is actually thrown on her, it is really well done. Like, that scene hits you like a punch in the gut. It makes your, you know, your toes curl. You like, you do that stuff with your fingers because you kind of feel it. So a lot of them started crying because you can just imagine, like, watching it made my blood boil. If it has actually happened to you, it is a huge trigger. So one of the girls, they actually started hysterically crying and shaking. So they had to take her out of the hall. So clearly it triggers the experience of actually when that acid is thrown on your face and it starts burning your eyes and your mouth and your tongue. And two of those girls were actually Dalits. And when it was thrown at them in UP, the hospital refused to let them enter because they said, your caste cannot enter this hospital. So even some, you know, some of the first aid that they got, they didn't get. So the acid continued to burn them because they didn't get medical attention. So in some cases, you know, some reconstructive surgery can be done. In some cases, it like eats right down to the nose, like through the mouth. So it's, in one case in the film, the girl dies because the acid, it's gone down to her lungs. It's horrible. I think it's, the one thing is commercially, and I was telling the Meghna that like Razi was spectacular. It was a super hit, whatever, 100, 200 crore, jo bhi kehte hain. I don't think children will, parents will take their children to watch this. So I don't know if that impacts the fortune of a film, but I think it's very brave of both Meghna and Deepika to make this film. And Deepika. You see how I get tongue-tied when I think of her name. So, and I think Vikrant Masi has done a spectacular job. He's a really great actor. He's in Death on the Gange, he was amazing. I think he'll go a long way. He is really subtle in his performances. It's nothing is over the top, and he really gets the character. And the lawyer, the lady who plays Deepika's lawyer, is also really good. So I'd say Deepika, Vikrant, and that lady lawyer, they carry the film beautifully. They all three have pulled off spectacular performances. I think this is one of Deepika's best performances because the prosthetics cover her face. All her acting is through her body language. So basically, she's playing a lower economic and economically weaker section girl from South Delhi. So the body language of that, and, you know, she's playing a young girl, she's just got it bang on. I think it's fantastic. So yeah, we stepped into one of the little halls after the film, and I had this quick conversation with Vikrant Masi, Meghna Gulzar, and Deepika Padukone. And here is what they said. So I am thrilled and super excited to have with me the star cast and the director, Meghna Gulzar, for the film Chhapak. I have just watched it and I thoroughly enjoyed it. So let me start with you, Meghna. This is the second film that you have based on a real life incident. Razi, right. Okay, correct. My bad. Again, you corrected me this time correctly. But the second, which was a media event that in recent, you know, history played out. And I asked you this in Talwar, you know, accuracy is always something that you have to be aware of because it's been consumed by the media. On that, you have taken a lot more liberties in this than you took with Talwar.
In what way?
In the sense that her career choice in the end, because, or did that happen and I'm missing something?
She did. She was an anchor for, I think, NewsX, briefly. Briefly, before she joined Amul's NGO.
I see. Now, the next question is aimed at Deepika. You will not hear her name because I was so starstruck that I went from a question from Meghna before she had even finished answering to a question of Deepika without really telling who I'm asking, and then I just put the mic in front of Deepika. So this question was to Deepika.
Did you at any time feel really disturbed psychologically with the kind of, 'cause while watching it, you know, that the scene where the opening credits scene, it hits you in the gut. Did you have to deal with it psychologically when you went back home, when you had to put on that makeup and you had to go through, I guess, a couple of weeks, you know, looking at yourself with that makeup?
Yeah, I didn't anticipate it, to be honest, because I've played, you know, I'd like to believe I've played difficult, complicated characters in the past. And, you know, we're done our round of prep and readings and, you know, got the look right as far as the prosthetics were concerned. So we had done all of that, and I really just, you know, I felt like, okay, we're going to go through the motions of shooting the film. And yes, I did prepare myself for it to be an emotionally challenging film, but I didn't think that it would take this sort of a toll on me. And I think coupled with the fact that I am by nature claustrophobic, so to have to wear the prosthetic for 12, 14, 16 hours sometimes in a day, breathing through one nostril, you know, of course it took a toll on me physically and emotionally. And yes, I did I did reach a low point where I did have my counselor on set with me, because there were days where I'd be absolutely fine and then out of nowhere I would just spiral.
Like what did you feel? Was it the thought of, you know, what if? Was it just the physical claustrophobia? Could you tell me what it was about?
Yeah, sometimes it was the physical claustrophobia. Sometimes it was the emotional spiral, you know, and sometimes you just start feeling a certain way, but you can't pinpoint why you're feeling that way. Of course, I knew I was, you know, I was playing this kind of a character, this kind of a part, but I can't take away the fact that it did happen. And that I did feel like that for moments in the film. And, you know, it finally reached a point where I had my counselor with me, because there's conversations that we have, and she's then got to deal with Deepika, the person, when the face comes off, to deal with the emotions that Deepika, the actor, Deepika, the person is going through, and sort of help me attempt at least separate the two emotions that I'm feeling at that point. But that's a very fine line, because it's not possible to play a role like this and not be invested emotionally.
Right. Masi Saab, my co-host Raj, she'll be very upset that she's not here because she keeps drooling while talking about you. It's most embarrassing. I try to keep our podcast dignified. She obviously pulls it down.
Please give her my
So, yeah, we shall give her your regards. So, one is, you know, Deepika is such a huge star, and I could be wrong, but I think other than Sridevi, no one has a female star, you know, is known to be the one who can pull off a film. I did not miss the subtext of the lawyer and the kids. I'm not. Right, I got it. So,
we all know where that's coming from.
Yeah, Megs, of course, tell me about it. But I must say, you did a fantastic job, and even Death in the Ganja, I thought you were great. In a world that we have come to know as optimized for men, and we take a lot for granted, do you feel a change? This is all about a woman acid attack victim. You have two really strong women survivor, acid attack survivor. Two really strong women on set. Do you sense a change? And how did you deal with your role? Because I have met the person you played, and I have known him in the past as well. It does hit him emotionally really hard. Did you spend time with him? Did you speak with him before?
No, I did get to meet him during the time we were shooting. She introduced me to him, but I did not meet him to get an idea or probably imbibe things for the part.
Mm-hmm.
Because Meghna ji was very categorical, you know, when we set out to, you know, recreate Alok into Amol, that, you know, she wants me to probably think like him, have his worldview, but bring bits of myself and obviously her thoughts too. So there were a lot of things, obviously, you know, there are multiple things that, you know, come together and create a part or a story or anything for that matter of fact. Coming to the first part of your question, yes, there is a definite change.
Yeah.
And it's really heartwarming. Because see, I come from television. I've done nearly, say, a decade of television. I'm only 6 years old in films. So I have seen that transition today, and I feel extremely proud to be a part of that transition. There is no reason for, I really can't speak for others, but I, as far as I am concerned, there's no reason for me to get intimidated. I rather, as an artist, I see it as an opportunity to collaborate with, you know, really talented people who will eventually push me to get the best out of me. So I keep it as simple as that. I really don't think much.
Now, Meghna, you have picked subjects that are, that are kind of heavy now for the third time. And you're working on Manic Show, which I guess won't be heavy in this sense, but there is going to be... Okay. Is there something that you want to tell me about that film?
Yeah, because according to her, Manic Show was going to be a like a big, heavy, difficult film. And so she thought she'll do a small film, Chapak, quickly. Easy.
So it didn't turn out that way.
She waits for her knight in shining armor to be available. And yeah, we made this very light love story.
Do you ever get tempted that let me pick up something light love story like?
Yeah, I've watched when I was watching these two and their scenes and how they've turned
Filhal
out.
Part two.
Yeah.
Can you please do Filhal part two? We must.
Filhal remake.
Huh? No. No. So you know that bus scene when I put the background to it, I was only swooning over them.
Mm.
When with the two of them in the bus and the one of the silent pair, and I was like, yeah, I want to make a love story. Because I saw this and I was like, I think I'll be able to do it.
But I have a script. I'll show you a love story.
Okay, okay.
No, but seriously, tell me about why you pick these, the pressure of picking each of these films.
Yeah, they pick me.
You must be, there must be some process when
there's
you kind
no
of...
There's no process. It's all instinctive.
You say, okay, this is a story.
Yeah, I mean, like, there is something there. Like, Talwar was suggested by Vishal Sir. I didn't think of it. I thought of this one. The story of Razi came to me from two different producers. So,
they find
me, and I also gravitate towards them because I really feel that we have a lot of light films anyway, right?
Right.
Somebody should be talking about the stuff that my films are talking about. Not in an arrogant way at all.
Sure.
But also,
there should be a place for that
also,
too.
Also, you know me. I like to do things in a difficult and complicated way.
Right. Including ordering at restaurants, which is just kind of...
Oh, dear.
Don't tell you. Each time one has to go,
things
I'm like... I hope there isn't a fight here and no one throws a dish at anyone. I mean, it's okay. It's like this, Alu. But okay, last question. I won't take too much of your time, guys. Deepika, I'm not just saying this. But anytime. I'm not just saying this, but I am a huge fan of you. And I'm not a fan usually. She'll tell you that. And for the longest, I said, Deepika, that's film creator. I'll get to me, Deepika. Excellent. But you know that Nike ad when you're playing baddie?
Yeah. Called Dada Ding. It has a name.
Dada Ding. I call it the Deepika Padukone ad, but yeah, we'll go with Dada Ding.
Nike ad, bad, what? Baddie. The baddie thing.
So, you're damn good, yeah, you know, and I keep telling people that you could have been a professional player because I can tell by, you know, the grace.
Do your research.
Oh, shit.
I was a professional badminton player until I was 16. I played for the state. And then I stopped playing for 2 months because it's that time in your life when you have to do board exams, ICSE board exams. And that's when I said, okay, this is the right time for me to transition. So I remember I played the last tournament towards the end of, say, 2001, I think. Anyway, and then, so basically, you know, did my exams, took 2 months off. I think Feb, March is when I started studying, actually. And when I came back to it, I kind of knew that I was going to use that time as the transition to then, you know, get into modeling and acting eventually.
Oh, so I was right. You were obviously really good. So all of you who didn't believe me, well, so Deepika herself, thank you guys for your time. I should.
Okay, now two films on real life.
Okay, now stop really beating me up.
And you said I could have been a professional badminton player when I was.
Okay, now everyone's just kicking. Come, Messi, let me hang with you. These guys are just being nasty to
me
now.
I have to say this.
Am I recording this?
Something uncannily similar between the two of them.
मुझे कल
the way they talk, the way their mouths are, it's mad.
मुझे कल कह रहे थे तुम दोनों जो mouths are also similar. Like
the way they talk, it's crazy.
Deepika and Meghna decided to kind of just start bullying me. So Vikrant luckily stood up for me, and then they insisted that me and Vikrant look like twins. So yeah, that happened. So Jefferson, will you watch Chapak?
Maybe later, yeah.
And Jefferson, before we let you go, I want you to be completely honest. You're sitting in Germany, so there's not much I can do. Not that I could if you were here either, because you'd probably beat me up. Do you think I was too harsh in my response to the mails? Please be honest, because my default setting is very aggressive. So I need to be told now and then.
It could have been a little more softer.
Okay.
I mean, the mails were harsh, I agree.
You don't have to sugarcoat it, bro. You can just tell me you're a dick. I'll take it.
No, you're not a dick.
A dick. You're too sweet, man. Fuck it even if I am, but yeah, go ahead.
No. See, you're a good guy. I actually like you very much.
Okay. No, but you think
my expectation,
right?
Usually, you are the big man. So my expectation usually, the big man has to be a little more, always softer.
Right. I shall work on that. Before I start any email, I shall say, tone it down. So I again apologize if I've hurt anyone's feelings. I'm happy to sit and discuss anything with anyone across this table or on the phone, and you can say what you want to me. I will not mind. I promise you. Like I said, when you're struggling to survive, someone not liking you doesn't rock your world. On that note, thank you so much, Jefferson, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And hope when you're around, stop by office and we shall have another one where you are sitting at the table with me.
Yeah, sure.
So happy new year to all our listeners and subscribers. I repeat, please pay to keep news free. Subscribe to newslaundry.com, because when the public pays, the public is served. When advertisers pay, advertisers served. Write into us at contact@newslaundry.com. I repeat, contact@newslaundry.com with your critique and suggestions and recommendations. If you have abuse to leave, you can leave it on our Twitter timeline. And I promise I will read it even if I don't react. And like Jefferson advised, I shall try to tone it down and try to be the bigger man. Thank you, Mr. Jefferson.
Thank you, Mr. Sekri.
It's a wrap.
All the News Laundry podcasts are available on Stitcher, iTunes, and any other podcast platform.
Please subscribe to News Laundry. Help us keep news independent. To catch all our podcasts on news, pop culture, current affairs, and sport, visit newslaundry.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And subscribe to our YouTube channel.